I hear Jacob. I hear Jacob. La 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 la. I hear Jacob. La 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 la.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Secret Chocobo Club. I'm Paul. I play as Nonoan Kukuin, who is a Hure samurai, male samurai. Still hasn't changed, but in my defense, I haven't been playing as much lately, so that's there's that too. But yeah,
little bit of factory or EO,
maybe may or may not
have. Busy in the factory.
I've been playing Factorio. That's what Jacob is alluding to. I've been playing way too much Factorio.
It didn't work. He just called it out straight up now.
Yeah, but I feel like if they say that I've been stuck in a factory, that might be a bit misleading. So I've been playing arguably way too much Factorio, but in any case, that's me.
And I'm James. I play as You'll Be Alright, who is a male Lalafell. Black Mage. Still Black Mage.
What do you mean still Black Mage?
He was Black Mage last time too.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, he's changed the most out of us all, but this time he was consistent. Also, welcome back, James.
Thank you. I almost did say scholar because I've been leveling my scholar and gearing it. Just because I want to play healer again, and I want to give scholar another chance. And yeah, it's actually been really, really fun. But MSQ wise, I'm still probably just gonna proceed as Black Mage. So
okay.
The Tonberries are weeping, James.
Stalwart bastion at Secret Chocobo Club, because he's pretty much the only person playing.
That's true.
I've been playing a bit.
Okay, I guess John as well.
Speaking of John, hi, I'm John. I play Nance Ingram, who is a male Viera, and most likely will continue to be a male Viera now that we have hats. Yeah. Yay. And I'm actually working on leveling up Pictomancer. So that may be the new class that I run with moving forward. But we'll see if this is just a phase and I go back to Sage, or if this will be the new path.
Hey, we're in a bit of a pickle. We currently have 3 DPSs.
One of you guys okay.
Oh, true.
Whoever's tanking just needs to warrior. We don't need a healer.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello. My name is Jacob. I play Clay Rich Baneswin, who's the Hure Highlander. I guess warrior now. I don't really have a choice because John told me that I have to play warrior.
Level up from 1 to 100 now.
No, it's I think my warrior is like 70. No, but I actually play Dark Knight.
Okay, John, if you're gonna switch to DPS, I'll switch to healer.
All right. There we go. We're good to go. Scholar main.
Because I thought the level 100 scholar skill was kind of dumb. I was like, oh, it's another button to press. It's just dumb. But I recently used it in an endgame raid, and it's beautiful. It's so nice.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to be super caught up to date with everything Dontrail and the latest patch is 7.3. Because we're going to go way, way back to Sylphs.
Back 80 Sylphs. Levels, you know?
To our Realm Reborn.
Back to our Realm Reborn. Last time, we had the whole thing with Grand Companies, and Menphilia is about to send us off to another, it's like arc of our story here. So previously, it was the Amalja with Ifrit. This time we're going to be moving on to Sylphs and Ramu. So with like a shift in scenery, shift in beast tribe, shift in primal, we also get a shift in our accompanying scion. No longer Thancred, no longer triple L Thancred.
Plural, scions.
Scions. Here scions. Right. We get the lovable fan favorite of Papalimo and Yida, who are not fan favorites. I do not like Papalimo nor Yida.
The two stooges.
So Menphilia basically just tells you, go with Papalimo and Anima and investigate what's going on with the Sylphs, because they seemingly can't summon Ramu. Spoiler alert, this does not actually get answered as to why. We just kind of gloss over that. But in any case, this is the inciting thing that kind of gets us out the door and going to Gridania. I don't know if you guys had a similar thought when you guys were revisiting this content, but I remember just thinking, wow, this is... actual death by a thousand cuts. Like, there's just so many small pinpricks that I actually didn't really enjoy too much of this particular set of quests.
Yeah, it definitely feels more MMOE, just like classic RPG, go here, go there.
You know, it's funny. I actually kind of had the opposite experience.
Really?
Because the first time I played through this questline, I felt a lot of what you're describing now in terms of like, oh, this is so annoying. This is pointless. Click through, yada, yada, yada. It's just like task, talk to self, but then it gets all these prerequisite tasks get added along the way in order to mark off that last task. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't stand this. Mm-hmm. But this time around, coming back as a revisiting player, I was having fun. Just like knowing kind of what's happening. And I think just actually, you know, we've talked about this before, but like having the trust for the story and like reading through. I thought they did a good job of introducing you to like a new culture, a new, you know, quote unquote beast tribe, and learning about the sylphs and, you know, their very interesting ways. But I do agree that gameplay wise, it is still really boring because you're basically just walking from NPC to other NPC and talking and slash emoting and then doing that over and over. So I get where you guys come from. But I will say, like, yeah, if you're in the mood for some flavor text, some leaf flavored, some cabbage flavored flavor text, then
Gisselgreen flavored.
Gisselgreen, yeah. This questline can be kind of interesting. I also want to give a little shout out to the music that plays in the Sylph Zone. It's funny, I actually never knew until I looked it up for this episode. The name of the track is Flibbert. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. Flibbertigibbet. I might be butchering
How whimsical.
Yeah. Which apparently means a frivolous, flighty, or excessively talkative person.
Wait, is this an actual word?
It's an actual word. Yeah. I know.
Is that the word they use in Sound of Music?
A flipperty flippet or something or something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Maybe.
A clown.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe. That in Maria, right?
Yeah.
Thing, you know, you want to, yeah, I wonder. That's actually, I never thought about that.
How do you solve a problem like
Maria? Yeah.
Careful. If we sing too much, we might get hit with copyright infringement.
Who owns Sound of Music now, though? We're done. I can't keep track of all the purchases and mergers.
Okay,
if it's Disney, we're screwed.
Just real quick, according to the internet, there is a reason why the Sylphs don't or can't summon Ramu, but I won't. Yeah, just so the listeners don't start a mob.
Okay, so it's a question that gets posed, but we do not get the answer by the end of this story beat or by the end of these sets of MSQs. Okay.
Yeah, I do think the main point, though, is, you know, kind of similar to what we went through in with the Amalja. Like, we are just trying to prevent another primal from being summoned
as
Scions of the Seventh Dawn. That's kind of the goal here. Although this time you're trying to use diplomacy rather than swords and knives to accomplish that, since the Sylphs have proven themselves to be negotiable in the past, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the whole...
It's not so much that we're being sent to prevent the summoning of primal. I think Ida and Papalimo, they say that it's a good opportunity because the Sylphs are more prone to communication and just talking to us. That it's a good opportunity to investigate and ask, like, hey, why are the primals even being summoned in the first place?
Yeah, I would say this is kind of like a second flavor of the same kind of like inciting incident. Like, we're not there to going in guns blazing or like swords drawn.
Yeah,
we're going to investigate. Same with the Amalja. Like, so something else has happened over there and at near Camp Drybones, and we're just sent over to investigate and see what's happening with this kind of preface of, let's, you know, make sure this doesn't lead to to another primal summoning. The same way, selves are more prone to diplomacy. So yeah, let's get into it. But I'm going to interrupt myself again. There are more optional chit-chats that appear at the Waking Sands. And I think there are some very fun ones that I want to point out. So I'll go through them a little bit quickly. But if you guys want to interject or have thoughts, obviously, feel free to. One is, if you talk to Wedge, who is the Lalafell of the two newer NPCs that we've just met. They're from the Garland Ironworks. Wedge 100% has a thing for Tataru. He is definitely smitten at the very least if you talk to him. Secondly, if you go talk to Leah Veen, she totally had a thing for Avir, which I feel like that is a much spicier story that is not explored at all. As a reminder, Avir is the tank that died in that party in Tamtara Deepcroft, and his fiance Edda, who is the party's healer, decided to kind of quasi-retire.
So the last time you saw her, she had actually walked up to your character and mentioned that she was considering retiring, but because her and Devere had been inspired by what your character had done and kind of just the heroics so far, she said that she was going to continue being an adventurer and kind of left on that note. So yeah, that was the last time that you saw Edda.
Yeah. Abatia has come back. He had gone on a similar sounding kind of like tag team with the Immortal Flames. He's back. He is successful. They have successfully destroyed the Amalja stockpile of crystals. But it's not like a happy note. So to kind of wind it back a little bit, if you remember when you talked to, I believe, Ehrenwald, he just throws up all these death flags. Like, oh man, I really hope he makes it. And yada yada. He does come back, you know. And so there's a bit of like, the gag is done. Yes, Abatia comes back, but there is definitely a very somber note to the way that he tells it, because a lot of allied forces died. And yeah, they won, but, you know, like at what cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And lastly, you can talk to Ishtola, who is one of the other Scions. If you started in Limsa Lominsa, you're much more familiar with her. She actually says that in order for you to enter, anyone to enter into the Waking Sands, they either need to get recognition from the Scions themselves, and I assume like Scions as in like the A team.
If they have a voice at this point, basically.
Basically, yeah. Or they need to get the approval of Tataru. Like she distinctly mentions you need to have one of these two things, which I think is, I don't know, just I feel like elevates Tataru in my mind.
Too much power.
She's secretary and HR.
This proves my point that she is more than just front desk secretary lady. She actually has
a vote here. She's Minfilia's retainer. Minfilia's retainer. Still standing by that. Also way too much power, but totally understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can also actually find one of the merchants again in the Waking Sands in the little side room. And I believe this time it's the one that you met in your intro cutscene, which is kind of cool. He'll recognize you and call you out. You know, for my character, for example, called out that, like, hey, we rode into Limsa together on that boat. Like, glad to see you, you know? And he's, like, looking for one of his brothers. But guess what? He missed him. Because as we talked about last time, they just keep missing each other. They're on this kind of rotating schedule. And they just don't see each other. So it's kind of funny to see that rotation continue.
So you leave the Waking Sands and normally you would think, okay, let's just go talk to the Sylphs. Poplimo and Nida have, you know, possibly connections with them. Maybe they've been investigating them. And so that might make you think, oh, we have a lead. The answer is no. And this is kind of like what I mentioned before of like these little tiny little blockers that keep getting in the way for you to do the main thing, which is like, let's go talk to the Sylphs. So you can't go talk to the Sylphs directly. In fact, the quest has you talking to a member of the Twin Adders over in Grudania first. This guy named Vosail Hula. I don't know how to pronounce these names. Heulix.
I think it's like Ulua.
Ulua. The L's in all Francais. So, you know.
But yes,
voila, hola.
But yes, him. You need to go talk to him first. Right? And you go, okay, cool. This guy will get me connected to the Sylphs. No, because he says, I have no idea. And you learn, and this is where I think you guys might need to help clarify. So he says that the Sylphs have summoned Ramu, and there are tempered Sylphs. But Ramu has not been summoned.
It's because Ramu was summoned in the past but
yeah.
More out of like a defensive thing anytime they were under attack. And Ramu is known to be not more like a violent war conquest-y primal. He's more summoned out of desperation to defend and protect the forest. And
like
also the Sylphs themselves.
Like a
yeah, very
forest hippie.
Foresty hippie.
Like
yep.
Forest, yeah, green party sort of, yeah, primal.
Also, okay. Total side note, I did not know you were supposed to pronounce it Ramu until I played this game, FF14.
What did you think that it was?
I was just called it Rama.
That's how I pronounced it.
Yeah. Back in like, FF7 or whatever other older FF games, I just said, oh, summoning Rama. old guy with a beard.
Yeah, that was actually a question lightning. I had for you guys.
Oh, yeah. You know, honestly, if I didn't hear the voice acting, I would have thought Rama as well, though. Just the way that the language syntax, like it's R-A-M-U-H. It's like, oh, Rama, you know?
That's Titus and Titus all over again.
If it was spelled R-A-M-O-O, that would just be comical. So I get the ambiguous spelling.
This is a cow? It's
Ramu. It's okay. So we have some sylphs that are tempered and some sylphs are not, but the primal has not been summoned. And mm-hmm. this is something that, again, to kind of jump forward a little bit, it's not very clear playing the game. You almost kind of need to like stitch some of that information together. But that was really confusing for me. And so, listener, if that was confusing for you or is confusing for you, that's what it is. There is some past events that has left some sylphs tempered. Okay. So again, back to my little paper cuts here, right? So, let's go talk to some sylphs again. So he directs you to go talk to Metaney, who will tell you to take a ferry to get to Eastroud. And this will be like a new section, and this is where the bulk of the quests are gonna take place there near the Hawthorne Hut. And then you go talk to Emmeline, who is supposed to tell you how to talk to the sylphs. So you go talk to Emmeline, and she goes, "Sorry, I know nothing about the sylphs," and instead tells you to go talk to Rolf Hawthorne, who is sitting right next to Emmeline. It's like, dude. And so you talk to Rolf Hawthorne. And he has garbage memory. He cannot remember how you're supposed to talk to the sylphs because, quote, his noggin got cluttered. And so you go on this quest to talk to Rolf's neighbors who are just scattered around the Hawthorne Hut to go ask them, hey, what did Rolf tell you about the sylphs? This is such a convoluted and it just kind of like reeks of like MMOism. To like finish out this whole like chain sequence, you talk to Isabel Hawthorne, who's Rolf's daughter, and then she tells you that sylphs have different etiquette, different culture. You talk to Monet, and you learn that they play lots of tricks, which range from very harmless and then just kind of annoying to just outright lethal. And then you lastly talk with Blazette, who just says that sylphs don't like food. And then you bring all this information back to Rolf and it kind of jogs his memory and he goes, oh yeah, you got to dance to the sylphs in order to talk to them. Like that's the standard greeting.
You also learn that the sylphs, they like drugs.
Milk root, was it?
Milk root, yeah. Milk root. Like they go crazy for it.
So yeah, this is the stuff that kind of like makes me go like, oh man, like it's fun. It's funny talking about it after the fact, but I think just doing this quest, I remember feeling like, oh, I'm just being trolled here. Like, no one knows how to talk to these sylphs, like, do they? But, like, you finally do get a little bit of progression.
Yet, this is not the worst quest line. There is one I have in mind that we will get to in the future at some point. But when it comes up, listeners, when we get to that part, I will call it out. I will say, this is what I've been talking about. This is my most hated quest line in the entire game. I'm pretty sure everyone here knows what I'm alluding to, but obviously I won't talk about it now.
No one was going to be on Square Enix's side. We're all going to dunk on it.
We need a single episode dedicated to just dunking on that entire questline because, oh my gosh, I have so much anger I need to vent about that.
So, okay. So you would think, okay, we got to dance to greet the sylphs. If they don't just take like a greeting, they don't like your normal human gifts. So we just go and dance to a sylph and say hi, right? No. Because Rolf says, hey, you should bring a specific gift to the sylphs. You should go talk to my wife. And you would, like, Rolf Hawthorne is inside the Hawthorne Hut. It's like the big structure that's there. You would think his wife is right there. But no. So his wife, Rolf's wife, Rosa, is like 5 miles out, who knows where. And you go talk to her. And then she says, oh, you should get milk root, which is that,
supposed catnip drug for
drugs.
Yes, it's the catnip for the sylphs. Yeah, it's sylph catnip. And she said, okay, you need to get milk root from the root of an ochu. So I'm actually going to give one like positive thing because that quest called First Impressions does what I wish that the MSQ way back way back in the beginning, the quest relighting the torch, I threw a whole fit about how this it's that quest's in the duty finder, or sorry, in the like duty tracker, it's worded so poorly. But here in First Impressions, it does the thing that I want relighting the torch to have. And I wrote it down, and it says, use amber syrup on the curious tussock and slay the Ochu. And everything is properly like there. And this is the same language that is used for the rest of the game. It's only in MSQ level 11, Relighting the Torch, where you get this obscure verbiage. You know, as a reminder, it says, light the brazier and obtain a bomb cloth from the torchlight that is drawn in by the flames. Like, thank you, First Impressions. Gosh. Thank you, whoever wrote that, because yes, that is the template going forward. And it's just, again, I have to point it out simply because I was so ecstatic to see that templated text again. That's all I'm saying.
Paul, did you break this all down just so you could release your vendetta against that previous quest?
Yes. I have closure thanks to First Impressions. Oh my gosh. Now. Like, because at least I know it's not an A Realm Reborn thing. Like, it is really just that level 11 MSQ. Like, that's the one-off.
That one designer just made a mistake and he learned, I guess.
I wonder, because there are a number of quests, and depending, you know, how much we talk about today, I might bring some of them up. There are a number of quests, though, that were adjusted more recently. Like, I'm thinking during the Shadowbringers patches and Endwalker patches to help reduce bloat slash, like, make things a little easier. So I'm not saying this is the case with this one, but it's possible some of these were updated later on and that they used to be, you know, the same way the previous quest was. But, yeah, I don't recall that one specifically. There are a few other quests I remember specifically playing through and then playing through again this time and noticing, oh, this is different. They changed it, you know, so...
Okay.
It's interesting to see like how much of that has changed over the years.
If this podcast ever has a meaningful change to the game, I would want that MSQ level 11 Relighting the Torch to be rewarded.
That's what, like, that's gonna be your pick more than anything else. Oh,
this is your patch notes.
Because I don't know, like, maybe it's just me. It probably is just me, but it's just that kind of thing just kind of bothers me a lot. Like, it just doesn't
settle right in my brain. The gap in the factory supply chain. Factorio would never.
But so if you weren't such like a Final Fantasy fan, like, this might even turn you off to just the rest of the game, because you might expect that sort of, I guess, low quality or inattention to detail.
Lack of polish, I think, is the term you're looking for. Yeah.
By the way, if listener, if this is your first time listening, it is in our episode one where you will hear Paul rant about this quest.
I think it's a valid paper cut, and this is a slight salve on that paper cut. That being said, First Impressions does kind of slice it right back open, because so Rosa tells you, hey, go get this milk root, go do this thing, kill the Ochi, and then you know, you have your milk root. And then just instinctively, I thought that it would make sense to go back to Rosa. Because if you think about it, this lady tells you, hey, go get this thing, here's how you get it. And you go, okay, I got it. And I would think you go, as a person who went to go do this quest, I would imagine you go, is this it? Like, this is it, right? And she go, okay, good, you got it. But no, the quest has you go all the way back to Rolf. So I think
I remember. Yep.
Should have you go back to Rosa, and then she confirms, yes, that is Milkroot. Good job. Also, thank you for taking care of this Ochu. That's, you know, whatever. And then you go back to Rolf. But I don't. Oh yeah, the paper cut, right?
You know, I think it's so funny because I do distinctly remember my first time playing through. I just assumed that I was gonna go to Rosa, and I didn't read the thing, and I was like so confused as to why I couldn't talk to her.
Okay. I had the same experience.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, like, as a human being, it makes sense that if I'm gonna go get something, I'm gonna identify. Like, I want the person who told me to get it to identify to make sure that it's the right thing, you know. But yeah, I had the same struggle. This is a very valid paper cut, Paul.
For once,
this is your first.
I agree. No.
You said that last time. You said for once last time. This is the second time you're agreeing with
my paper twice. Cut. That's not a word, or that's not a phrase. For the second time,
all my I paper concede. Cuts are valid. All of them are valid.
I don't know, man. The circle thing about Uda is, I don't know, dude.
Okay, you know what? I think that was probably the one I said was kind of valid, though. Because
all
that
right, buddy.
can I just offer say, like maybe a Band-Aid to all of this?
Sure.
Because I feel like it's kind of like thematic. It's a little thematic, you know. It's like the sylphs—they like playing tricks on you. It's like go but here.
Rose is not a
sylph. It's over there.
Yeah.
You know, just like I'm saying, it's like within the theme.
I don't know. I think you're giving them a little too much credit, you know?
James, are you secretly being paid by Squeenix to
not even that's just like that, you know?
For Realm Reborn.
I appreciate that
high school English overanalysis, you know?
I appreciate James trying to rebalance the scales here.
Yeah, you know what?
I think it's because I didn't complain about that, but I put another part in my notes that I'm like, I'm seeing a pattern, right? Like, because when you first meet the first, like, Sylph NPC, Komuxio, I think is how you pronounce it, like, you dance, and then she's like, oh, nice to meet you. And then she immediately recognizes Papalimo and Nita, and like, wait, you're with them? I've seen them around. I don't trust you anymore. And then that puts you on this whole quest line of, like,
no.
you need to go and then find the milk rune.
Yep. Okay. I literally made a note, like, thanks, Ida, Papalimo. It was going perfectly until you bozos walked in and ruined everything. It's just continuing Thancred's L's. Now it's Papalima and Ida's L's.
It's just the science L's at this point. Do not look good.
Yep. Yeah. They really don't.
So you take your milk root, you take your, you know, prepared dancing steps, and then you go talk to, as James mentioned, like the first sylph. You finally talk to a sylph. They look like cabbages with legs that float in the air. And you get interrupted once more, right? See, this is what I mean. We all forget there are all these micro interruptions because you don't go to the sylphs. I was wrong. I take it back. You talk to Amelaine again. If you remember, Amelaine is the guy who's standing right next to Rolf and tells you, go talk to Rolf. He's right here. You go talk to Amelaine, and Amelaine says, he's the one who recommends, okay, you should go talk to Komuxio. Which again, dude, if you know who I'm supposed to talk to, why didn't you just say so? You've
And here, another band-aid. Maybe it was just a quote-unquote fun way to have you learn all that information about the sylphs without just getting like a wall of text.
Not fun.
Yeah, I mean, to be not fair, fun. She didn't say like all she knew was like the point of contact. Like, I know, for example, that the president of France is Macron, that's his name, right? But I don't know anything about French culture, you know? So maybe it's like in a similar way, like, oh, I know like who this important person is, but I don't know anything about the sylph like culture, which is what she wanted you to talk to Rolf about, you know? And she was like, oh, she's like, I know that they're particular, but I don't know what they're particular about. This is also me like trying to like give like a slight band-aid to like kind of explain why, you know?
Yeah, you guys are definitely giving them too much credit than I think what they were intending. I really think that was just, we got like five levels of quests we got to fill up. How can we stretch this out?
Game design, yeah.
Oh, you could fit like 10 quests here. Why have them go directly? Send them on a little goose chase, you know?
Yeah. I think at a meta level, yeah, this probably is just designed as a way to kind of, you know, have a interactive wall of text, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, here's what the sylphs are about. And instead of listening, you know, going through like 8 blocks of text, right? You got to run around, get a little familiar with East Stroud and Hawthorne Hut. The quests, yeah, do all of that. And they also instill in you a desire to burn down that hut and everyone in it.
And not interact with
the forest.
Yeah. But you talk to Amelaine, who is a guy, despite the name sounding feminine. He is a guy.
He gives Amelaine is a guy, yes.
Yeah, Amelaine is a guy. He gives you a letter from the elder seats here, Connie Senna. And there are two things that are written in it, and this becomes a little bit relevant later on in the quest. One is with the letter written by Connie Senna, you have like authority now. You have a little bit of backing and a bit of authenticity as an envoy for Grudania to the sylphs. And secondly, the letter also contains a desire for peace. And it's like what both James and John said. Yeah, the sylphs are not aggressive by nature. They're pretty chill, especially once you start talking to Komuxio and everyone else. And so these two things will come into play again later. And yeah, you dance for Komuxio because that's how you say hi. And then freaking Papalimo has the sheer audacity to go, oh, look, we are here together. It's like, no, you're not. I did all the running. You did squat. And then he ruins it. He ruins everything. Komuxio is like, oh no, I don't like you. You're from Grudania. I hate all Grudanians. You must be from Grudania too, pointing to you, the adventurer that's sent out here. And then you go through a whole like part two.
I remember when I first played this, I was a Grudanian, I was a Lancer, you know, I started in Grudania. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like they knew that I was a Grudanian. And so when I first, then I do remember that quest and thinking that was so interesting. And then so I played it again, you know, this time as a ninja, Linza, coming from Linza. And I was like so sad and disappointed to find out that, no, they don't know that, like, it's just because you're associated with Papa Limo, which also just pissed me off. Like you said, Papa Limo did not grab the milk root. You know, he did not help.
He did squat.
He did nothing.
He did nothing.
And yet he was like, oh, yeah, we're together. And I'm like, I hate you. I hate everything that you are.
It's like Thancred at the end of Bowl of Embers. So this is one cool backflip. Shows up, takes all the credit.
We're tossing. I'm totally tossing Papa Limo into the pile of L's next to Thancred. One small thing, right? Joking aside, there are three potions you can get at the end of this quest. One is a silence potion, one is a sleeping potion, one is a paralyzing potion. It does not matter which one you get; they're all equally super duper useless, as far as I know. I don't think I've ever used them.
You're never going to use potions in your life. Unless you're a crafter, you're never going to use potions in your life. Just honestly, pick a number between 1 through 3 and then make a choice. Or pick your favorite color. You're not going to use it. So at least it'll look nice in your inventory.
So you talk to the souls finally. You went through all this hassle and Papa Limo single-handedly ruins it with one text box. And so now you got to do dance, dance, diplomacy. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is, okay, Kamoxio hates you, but maybe you can kind of garner a positive image by being sociable and talking with the other sills and just kind of being friends with them. So, okay, cool. If Papa Limo has the audacity to swoop in and scoop all your efforts and just, you know, ruin all of it, surely he and Ida would help. But no, Ida decides to get a leg cramp. And refuses to join you in all of the dancing you have to do to greet all of the sills.
I'm totally, this is hazing, man. It's hazing continued. They have quote-unquote leg cramps. They're just hazing you straight up.
Because it is hazing, because when you, after you talk to three sylphs, Dalexia, Amixia, and Dalexia, all fun conversations, I think, especially when you talk to Dalexia, because she implies that when Connie Senna herself came to visit many years ago, that she also danced with all the sylphs. And just thinking about that, like, you know, given how you see her, or given how she's presented in the game, it's just kind of comical to think about.
It's a hilarious mental picture.
Yeah. And so you do all this, and it's 100% hazing. Papa Limo and Ida are definitely hazing it, because Ida has conveniently recovered from her leg cramp. And oh, what a shame that she can't help you with all the dancing, because you're done with this quest.
I mean,
I mean,
it could also be that she really did recover from her leg cramp. Leg cramps don't take forever to recover from.
Highly suspect. Also, I could be remembering incorrectly, but I want to say this is one of those quests that was adjusted. Because I have a memory from when I first played the game of needing to dance for like 8 sylphs instead of just 3.
Oh my gosh.
They reduced the number. But I could be remembering incorrectly. Yeah, maybe I was just like, me being impatient back then, and I thought 3 was like a huge number. But yeah, doing it this time around, I was like, oh, this feels like less than it used to be. Also, shout out to that quest name, Dance Dance Diplomacy.
Yeah, Dance Dance Diplomacy.
Yeah.
Paul, the first time you did this quest, were you still a Lolafell?
Yes, I was.
What was your first impressions of the Lolafell dance, the default dance?
I don't remember this. Can you remind me?
What is the Lolafell default dance? I don't remember.
It's like this little dainty, like you tiptoe around. It's not a cool dance at all.
I don't think anything Lolafell is cool. This was the first time I legitimately
thought about switching, like using Fantasia.
After you did the dance, that's so funny.
Yeah, I was like, this dance is just not cool.
I don't think any of the default like slash dance command is particularly great.
None are very good.
Yeah, I don't know what the other races dances like.
There's one that sticks to mind because on the character that I'm playing through right now, I'm playing as a male Viera, and the male Viera dance is so weird.
It's spinny,
arms are just kind of flopping and flailing around. But then, like, you know, they try to make them look kind of graceful while they're flailing. I don't know. It's just a weird dance. We'll go find clips and add them to the show notes. You can go ahead and take a look at all the different dances for the different like races, and let us know what you think. Okay, so after you do all the dancing, one, I would say, kind of small quest, forest friend. Turns out you help out the sylphs, and Komuxia thinks you're pretty chill, and so he's willing to talk to you now.
And then we get him some more drugs, some brownie bushes, you know? Know what I'm saying?
Yes, you get him his fix. And then the first kind of like actual hiccup, actual like story thing happens, which is Komuxio has seen some unfamiliar, what he calls unfamiliar walking ones. Walking ones being like non-sylphs, just like normal, you know, people, whichever.
Because the sylphs float.
Yes, the sylphs float. And he thinks they could be soldiers from the Garlean Empire, which now kind of shakes things up a little bit. Yeah, if you remember, there was that one long quest, or not quest, one long cutscene from a while ago where you meet the armored Power Rangers. Those guys, those soldiers have been seen in sylph territory. So you do a bit of investigation. You kind of learn bits and pieces of this from like how sylphs talk. And similar to the gobbies, the sylphs don't have their own like tongue necessarily, but the way they reference things like walking ones or like food and rocks,
this one,
like, yeah, it's kind of like up to you as like the player to kind of interpret what is food and rocks, like what does that mean, like walking ones, like doesn't everyone walk, and you kind of piece those together. But basically Garleans have supplies in that are stashed away, and through these supplies that they seem to be gathering from Gridanian land, there is a deduction made of, oh, someone on the inside must be helping, because or else how else would the Garlean soldiers know where to procure / steal supplies? And then you kind of get interrupted from this line of thought, because you gotta go rescue a sylph named Klaxio, who
Klaxio has, the fool.
Yeah, he's left Little Solus being the kind of name of the little like village, the sylph village. Yeah, that's a little bit away from the Hawthorne Heart.
Actually, on that note, like, there's, I forget if it's part of this quest specifically, it might have been earlier, in one of the earlier quests, but there's a part where you go to the eastern part of Little Solus, and you're like, you kind of look around, or like do like a little peek, or actually maybe this was one of the quests that was removed too, I forget. Regardless, what I wanted to point out is, like, I really like the zone design here, because, as you know, this is A Realm Reborn. In this zone, like, you're not just around level 20, you know, monsters that are the same level as you. Like, in that upper eastern area, there's a bunch of, like, level 40, level 50 monsters, and it's really scary, and the zone is scary over there, too. And, like, you can't really go over there yet, but you can kind of, like, take a little peek from Little Solus and, like, see, like, ooh. And you can actually see some of the, you know, touched ones, as we'll talk about, that are over there as well. But like, it's a very cool zone design, because then, you know, when you're able to get stronger and you come back, then you can kind of go into those areas that you previously couldn't. And that's something I feel like is kind of missing from, you know, some of the expansions, because like, by the design of expansions, each zone is always going to be limited to like
10 levels,
1 through 2. Yeah, like 2 yeah. levels at most, you know, so you're never going to get that experience again. So it is cool, like here, when you have like areas you clearly can't go yet, but you can, like, they're like right there, and they are referenced in the story, you know, as like, oh, it's dangerous over there, you know. I think that's just, it's a nice touch that I kind of forgot about after playing through the expansions, and then coming back here, I'm like, oh yeah, like that was kind of scary, and like, it is fun to kind of poke around and explore a bit.
You know, I do agree with that. I think those are very, I think, fun, like, elements of gameplay just in general, where there are both like game reasons and in lore reasons as to why you shouldn't venture into a particular zone.
Yeah.
And I think it is a nice attention to detail where like those two things overlap to be like, oh yeah, I as a player am incentivized to not go fight something that is literally twice my level. You can try, but you will die 100%.
Nice poem.
And there's actual reasonable in-game explanation as to why you shouldn't do that either. So I agree. I think those are great. You technically you do have more of those zones. They do kind of exist, although at this point you might be kind of on par. Early on, when you hit around level 10 or so, or kind of finish up like MSQ level 10-ish, you can, we mentioned it in a previous episode, but you can technically run from one Ulda to Limsa. But you will be deterred or like discouraged from doing so, because there will be a couple of those zones where, you know, the enemies are much higher level than you are at that point in time. So if by chance, listener, you did one of those, this would not be the first time, but I think this is the first time in like mainline MSQ where you're kind of just kind of forcibly brought right to the edge of one of those zones, and then, you know, promptly told you shouldn't do that.
Well, you just learn by experience.
Yeah. But Klaxio, the fool, decides to go and disregard all of these reasons not to leave Little Solas, and he leaves anyways.
Yeah, Klaxio.
He's mad at the sylphs, or he's mad at his like fellow sylphs for like hanging out with humans or walking ones.
Walking ones.
Yeah, Klaxio is unhappy with the current state of sylph politics because, in his eyes, sylphs trying to like establish diplomacy with the walking ones, he sees that as a similar level of dependence as the tempered or like touched sylphs being just enslaved to another external force. When I was doing this quest where Klaxio runs away because he's upset about something, it kind of felt like, you know, as a kid, you go, I'm running away from home, and then you just like go on your bike and go around the block to like your neighbor's backyard.
Make your new home in the backyard.
You pack your favorite toy.
It's a great description.
And so that's basically what you do. You go, and then Klaxio's like, no, like I'm not gonna, you know, go rejoin my society. And then he gets attacked. You save him.
Of course.
You bring him back, and then you learn that Klaxio is actually Kamuxio's brother. I actually don't dislike this story. I think it's kind of nice to show that, like, even within these, like among the sylphs, you get a small flavor of it when you go around dancing and talking to everyone, but they're not all homogenous. Like they're not just all like single-minded hive mind. Like they all have their own like individuality. And so I actually kind of am glad this quest exists. I just think it's weird that it comes after, I would say, the big like uh-oh moment. It's like, oh, talking to the sylphs. Oh, hey, okay, what's going on? No, what's happening? Oh, Garleans. But hang on, you gotta go see my brother first. Like, whoa, like, can we go back to the Garleans for a second here? Like, well, what's going on? But yeah, I actually do like this quest. I promise I'm not all, you know, poo-poo. I do point out positive things when I come across them.
What do we call these? What's the opposite of paper cuts for Paul's? Paul's pies?
Pies.
I don't know. I want to stick with the P alliteration, you know? Alliteration. What's something positive that starts with P?
Paul's positives.
Okay. That's better. That's better.
Almost sounds like false positive.
False positive.
You know what? Sometimes they are.
Kind of is.
Sometimes they are.
You know, I will affirm, though, I do like this questline. I think it does a good job of kind of showing the state of the sylphs and like how they're in this weird transition period in terms of like diplomacy and kind of stuck between, you know, the other sylphs and Ramu versus, you know, Gridania, but also like keeping their own identity. So it does a nice job of, I think, conveying that conflict, even if it requires Klaxio to be a fool.
One other kind of nice, I don't know, like reference Easter egg. It's kind of hard to call it Easter egg, but one nice thing that I do like is we get to see our very first Marlboro. Long-time Final Fantasy fans will hate this creature that you fight.
What?
The game calls it a Morble, and it appears with a group of like of sylphs that attack Klaxio, and that's what you got to save Klaxio from. But a Morble in Final Fantasy XIV land is a Marlboro.
Like the cigarette?
It is actually named after that cigarette company.
That's why they use Bad Breath.
Bad Breath inflicts a bajillion status effects,
so aka lung cancer, aka death.
Yes, yep. lots of different diseases.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that.
I hopefully, again, no shame if you do get, you know, killed by the Marlboro, or if you kind of struggle with it, no shame whatsoever, because I think every single Final Fantasy player, the first time they encounter this stupid tentacled mouth plant thing, I would be surprised if most people did not game over on whatever Final Fantasy game they encountered this.
Dude, FF10, Omega Runes, if you didn't have First Strike, oh my gosh, I lost so many sphere levels to those stupid Great Marlboros. Anyways, Sorry, yes. Complete side note, but I had to vent a little.
No, understandable. The main thing, I mean, you should have been doing this. I think the game does a pretty good job in like encouraging it. Don't get hit by the enemy attacks by those like orangish, yellowish, like telegraphs on the ground. Do not get hit by the Morbol's large clonal attack. That is the signature.
That's like 9 different debuffs.
Yeah, just do not get hit. I don't think you'll lose the duty if you get hit, but it's just why make your life harder? Of all the things to not get hit by, just don't get hit by that and you'll be fine, I promise. But yes, Marlboro making an early appearance in Final Fantasy XIV. Usually they are kind of late to end game, sometimes post end game enemy that comes up. But yeah, we get an early sneak peek at them here.
And then after that, it's like a return to more story beats where you find out the Elder Sylph is missing.
It's not that you can just go talk to the Sylphs, right?
Because like, they have,
of course, that'd be too easy, right? That'd be too, you know what? You gotta talk to not just a Sylph. Kamuxio is not good enough. You need to talk to the Elder Sylph. The head honcho, El Sylpho. But no, the Elder's not missing. Because of course, the Elder Sylph was missing, right?
Oh my gosh.
That's just in theme.
I remember that quest when Kamuxio tells you, oh no, the Elder's missing. He starts crying, like does the crying animation. I too did the crying animation in real life.
And so Kamuxio goes, okay, yeah, so Elder Sylph has gone missing, but maybe you should go ask this guy named Buscaron, who lives near where the Elder was last seen and where the Elder disappeared. Of course, Kamuxia would go him / herself, but no, you gotta go.
Leg cramp. He has a leg cramp. Not kidding, yes, he doesn't have a leg cramp. Sorry.
Well, I think it's just because, like, you know, the Sylphs there are very wary of humans or walking ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or humanoids, I would say. And then, yeah, even, like, just people, they're not too, like, trusting of Sylphs either. It'd be weird if a Sylph came up to you just out of the blue into, like, a human bar to just be like, hey, looking for the Elder.
What up? Yeah, be kind of weird.
So there's an in-lore reason. It just still sucks.
Yeah, the in-lore reason makes sense. The player reason is just, oh, why?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it took to gain their trust, and then now they're giving you some juicy information, you know?
Yeah, in case it wasn't clear, like by this point, you know, you've kind of gotten friendly with the Sylphs. You kind of helped them out on some of their troubles. You saved Klaxio. So, you know, you're in their good books by this
point. You're like in the crowd. You're like in the group. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like they like you. They've, you know, they kind of accept you as like a friend or at least like someone that is trustworthy. And, you know, as you play through the quest, like that's like a, you know, Sylphs innately just don't trust a lot of the like human folk, the walking ones. And so the fact that you're in, you know, their good graces is a good thing. And it shows a bit of progress. Different resources are kind of called in to kind of help search for this Elder Sylph that has gone missing. Again, you have that letter from Connie Senna. Like, this is not just you as a Scion going to the Sylphs. Like, all of Gridania is vested in reestablishing, like, a good relationship with the Sylphs. So, the Twin Adders also get involved. You go talk to Vorsail, or whatever. The Twin Adders are helping. Woodwheelers are also helping. Like, this has become a big thing, even though it's just like two text boxes that are saying it. But just the implications of it is that, hey, all of Gridania is actually moving to help find this Elder Sylph that has gone missing. You, however, go to a bar, Buscaron's bar in South Shroud.
And it's time for the Buscaron glazing arc, as I like to call it.
Every
NPC you talk to in the next like three levels of quests are all like, oh, Buscaron's an amazing guy. Oh, Buscaron is the goat. Oh, Buscaron is, you know, my reason for existing. It's just like over and over.
Buscaron saved me.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a nice dude, but like, it's a little too like, oh wow, they're really trying to hammer over the head that like this Buscaron guy is amazing, you know. So sorry, I just have to get that in there because I remember through this, I was like, man, this never ends.
Yeah, Buscaron aura farming.
Yeah, that's another term you see a lot these days.
Yeah, so when you make your way over to Buscaron's Druthers, I do like that the it feels more like a little rest stop. Mm-hmm. They're guarded by, the game calls them disorderly adventurers, as opposed to the usual like wood whaler sentry. Like there is no, you know, eloquence here. It's just rowdy. Something that I found confusing. So you talk to Buskaron, right? Who, again, all the NPCs are going to and are glazing him super hard. He says, so he, you know, you go to Buskaron because you're like, hey, have you seen the Elder Self nearby? They were last seen around here. Do you know? And okay, here are the lines that he says, and kind of in response to this, he goes, ah, a hunger for news, is it? Aye, there's been talk of a sylph lurking hereabouts, but I couldn't rightly say if it be the elder you seek. It's like, okay. Those woodland scamps all look alike, short of painting one red and another blue. Most folks will struggle to tell the two of them apart.
I remember racist.
That's really racist.
Yeah, racist.
That's
crazy.
100%. Really racist. Right, okay. And then
so much for being
one,
a great guy.
The last one is, if you've the time, mayhap you could stay a while and see what the gods have in store. You never know, you might even stumble across this sylph elder yourself. So I interpreted this as like a, maybe I know, maybe I don't, who's to say? And so I was like, oh, what, do we gotta like buy some ale from him? Like what do we need to do? But then if you look at the quest journal, this is him saying, yeah, I'll help you.
Like, yep. It's basically him saying getting free work out of you, you know, oh, stay around, do some chores for me, and then you might find your elder.
Yeah,
so this is the like kind of like ironic or funny thing about his like whole like he can't tell the sylphs apart, because he you know, he's like, I'll help you, but you gotta do me a favor too. There's some people fighting outside, spray some water on them, and then, you know, break it up, and they come back in. And then when you come back in, he's like, yeah, they've been, like, you know, really hating on this one, like, Elizin, the Dusk White Elizin. Like, they're known to be, you know. But he has, like, this whole empathy for, like, a whole group of people. He's like, who am I tonight? Someone based on, like, the race?
Of course. You know, he's an ally. Yeah. But those sylphs, those stupid sylphs, absolutely not.
Yeah. He just doesn't like lettuce or greens, you know. Maybe it's personal.
Yeah. He does run an ale house, and last time I checked, they don't really have a lot of veggies.
Oh, side note, on that quest, actually, when you're getting the water to you know, make the to throw on the rowdier,
yeah, this
customers
is, the MSQ patrons. Level 22 Druther's house rules.
Thank you, Paul. This is for sure. I remember this is one of the quests that were adjusted several years later to be shortened, because the way the quest works now, he gives you the water and you just go up to the guy and you throw it on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the past, he would give you a bucket and be like, oh, here, go get some water from the river behind my bar and then throw that water on the dude. So you would go have to walk to the river. I remember you would right click and you would take up the bucket and put the bucket in there. And then you have to right click again to pick the bucket up and then throw it on the guy. So I'm glad they changed it, because that contributed like nothing. But it was funny how much like I remember that quest, maybe because it was just so like, this is so dumb. And then when I saw the change, you know, this time around, I was like, oh, wow. Good job. Good job. So
this podcast has been 10 minutes of Paul just dunking on that quest.
Yeah, you know, back in my day,
I would have torn that quest to shreds for sure. Like, hey, I'm here to play an RPG, not, you know, RPG, but quap.
Hey, well, but John, thank you to you and all the giants of the first time players going through this.
Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, kudos. Just wait till we get to post Orum Reborn
to suffer through the patches, all this, and then yeah. So that us later, years later on, we can enjoy the fruits of all of your suffering.
The pioneer, you know, we commuted to school in the snows over hilltops and valleys, so you guys wouldn't have to, right? That's how it works.
What is it that Jacob says? Like, walk uphill both ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Walk to school uphill both ways.
So, Buskaron, he can't tell himself apart, but he is an ally for Dusk Whites, who are often discriminated against. So, is he racist? Is he not? Can he be both? You know, we'll leave that up to you, listener, to decide for yourself. So, you know, you splash some water on some two dudes fighting. Also, one last side note on that. I totally thought we would have to beat them down. like actually fight them. I actually was
I thought that
it
too.
Was a pleasant surprise. Yeah, that you just splash water on them.
Is it a pleasant surprise? Because, you know, what if you're just playing and you're like, oh, I want to fight something. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I get to fight something. And then, oh, wait, I don't get to fight anything.
I think because it's quick, because it's not some arduous, like, go fetch, you know, water from the river. Because it's a quick, like, boom, you're done. Mm-hmm. I think that makes it much easier to digest. Like, oh, I'm gonna, okay, I just got to click them twice. Okay, cool, I'm done. Oh, okay, neat. Like, so that was kind of my feeling for it, where it's like, oh, okay. Some variety. A little bit of change of pace. But it's okay, you know, in case you're itching for more action, Buskron has another favor. And I think at this point, he's totally just using you as extra help for free.
So wait, let's pause to measure. So you're being used by the Scions and being lended out to be used by the Sylphs.
Probation period.
To then be lended out and used by Buskron. So you are on layers right now. Of being loaned out as a chore boy or chore girl, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You're just free labor at this point. You know, you get paid in useless potions that are completely irrelevant.
But it's not free labor though, because you do get gil at the end of the quest.
Yeah, that's so your get paid, salary. Like, quote,
yeah,
unquote.
I don't know whatever 900 gil is in U.S. dollars, but it's, you know, you're still getting. I don't know what the conversion rate is, but you're still getting paid.
You also get paid in experience, right?
That is true. You're also getting paid in experience, and that's what, you know.
I guess.
It's the unpaid internship all over again.
What is the conversion rate?
I'm talking about EXP points, guys. Did that just fly over your heads?
Actually, we do need to level up. I think the next quest Buskron gives you is the single worst quest in this entire sequence.
I agree.
I know there's that one with Rosa that's just kind of confusing and just like there are lots of frustrating ones. But this one, never forget. I will not forget this quest because it's so tedious. This is the climax point, I think, of all of the like running around, talk to this person who says talk to that person who says talk to that person. Mm. Like this quest, never forget, never forget.
Yeah.
This is the penultimate right here.
It did not age like fine wine. Nope.
No, not at all.
Make very micro scale problems here.
Yes. So Buskron says,
John's
hey,
making references to all the MSQ
questions, yes,
upcoming
that are coming
MSQ
up. Yes. He has a friend, how do you pronounce it? Kieran?
This is also weird because like he just talked about how he can't tell sylphs apart
and like, has this whole thing apart, exactly.
He knows the key currents. He's like, oh, this one,
he's like, one of my best friends,
that's my homie Kikurin.
What if like it's not actually the same Kikurin and he just thinks it is?
Okay, so
he's just taking care of all these different Kikurins and then he's like, oh, it's my good old friend Tenryu.
Well, actually, he probably could have told them apart because the reason why Tenryu even comes up is because Tenryu left behind an earring that he wants to return. That Buskron wants to return to Tenryu. So maybe he was just wearing the earring and he could tell.
Earring is
That's why he had it. Yes. If it all makes sense now.
Okay, listeners. So, okay. The reason why we're going off on this. So Kikurin. It's spelled Q-I-Q-I-R-N, which is why I'm struggling to pronounce how this is pronounced. Or I'm struggling to pronounce this word. But they look like little like bipedal moles. Like kind of like. You take
like,
a mole.
They look like anteaters.
And you kind of
no?
stretch. Maybe I don't know, but you kind of like just stretch them vertically, and here you go. Like that's what they are. They're not like another.
I was gonna say they remind me of the way that Brian Jakes, artists in the Redwall series drew the shrews.
Oh,
yes, but also stretched vertically because they are kind of
much
tall.
Bigger. Yeah, a little taller. Yeah. But
they're taller than a Lulafell, but shorter than a Huron. Right, they're kind of around that height. So that's what we're saying. Like this guy can tell, you know, Kikurins apart. Again, allegedly, maybe it's just because of the, you know, the scarlet earring. But you know, he can't tell the different cabbages apart. So yeah, that's the whole quest. Is basically, hey, he left this earring behind. Can you go find him? because he used to, you know, work here, and then he left to go, you know,
my homie,
find a different career path. And then this just sends you on like 3-4 tiers of talking to so-and-so. Okay, I mean, here, let me just kind of go through quickly. You first go talk to Basing, and Basing says you should go talk to Kilkarun.
In Limsa, Kilkarun, by the way.
In Limsa, is, yeah.
Not even in Gridania anymore.
Yeah, you're not even Gridania. You need to go to Limsa, Lumensa. Man,
I forgot how bad this was.
To talk to Bainsing, and then Bainsing says, you should go talk to Kilkarun, because they hung out together. But Kilkarun isn't in Limsa, Lumensa, because of course he isn't. So you go find Kilkarun. He thankfully, he does know Tetarun, or Titarun, Tetarun. But he's not here anymore. He's working elsewhere at some trade post. You should go talk to Weinberg, because of course there's another NPC you gotta talk to. So you go to Weinberg, and Weinberg says, oh, Titarun left for Aleport. You should go talk to Altfoet. And just like, you go talk to Altfoet over at Aleport, and he goes, oh, actually Titarun went to Oakwood. All these names. And so you go, you eventually make your way to Memerun's trading post way out in Bronze Lake. This is all in Lanosha. You're not in Gridania. And finally, this huge, like, talk to so-and-so, all this chain, it finally comes to an end. Do you have to remember any of these names ever again outside of this quest? No.
No.
Does it matter? No.
One little fun thing I'd like to add. When you talk to Bainsing, and before he tells you to go talk to Kilkarun, the other Kikirin, or Kikirin, is it Kikirin or Kikirin?
I don't
apparently
know.
It's Kikirin is what I'm seeing online, but
yeah. Listener, if you have a pronunciation, let us know.
Basically, he just says, go talk to him, but he might not like you, so here, take a chicken egg to offer to him, because he go crazy for it. And then this is where there's like, well, no, I guess like minor details that if you pay attention to can offer some whimsy into the game. Like if you read the description of the egg, it says, if one were so inclined, the freshness of this egg could be checked by placing it in a container of water. Were it to lay on its side, it is almost certainly fresh. Should the egg float, however, it may be possessed by a void scent and should be smashed with extreme prejudice.
Wait, I love that.
Insane.
Yeah. And then so after that point, like I found that out. I think there's like a Reddit post or something as I was going through the MSQ, and it just made me pay attention to more. And there's more going on. Like, yeah, later when you do meet Tetarun, he has this whole thing of like, hey, I'm gonna help you, but and thanks for returning this, but before, can you like do another whole like fetch quest for me, because I want to return the favor for Buskaron. He's like, I'm gonna make him my famous like fire water.
And
he wants you to go collect
Complete side note, the egg thing, that I mean, that's a real thing, by the way. If you have eggs and you're like, oh, I don't know if it's good or not, you put it in a glass of water, and if the egg starts floating, yeah, that means
it's
the egg's
most
bad.
Likely run.
Yeah, yeah.
And but that avoid sense is possessing it. Yep.
Extreme prejudice sounds appropriate.
But Tetarun, in order to make his famous fire water, you need to get a coral pup whisker.
Which is kind of messed up, I think.
Yeah, you have to go beat up a coral pup and take its whisker. But then if you read the description for the whisker, it says, it takes almost a full year for a coral to grow its first whiskers. It took less than a minute to remove it.
The flavor text is so like good sometimes.
Little flavor text it. That, yep. Like, yeah, if you're just, like, bored by the slog of these things, just, like, take a moment to look at something else.
To read the flavor text, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a certain quest line, a certain gentlemanly quest line, where every single item that you need for that quest line has all the best flavor text. Yeah.
So Tetarun thanks you for the earring, makes his fire water, which as far as my best like assumption is, this has got to be some kind of strong whiskey, right? I feel like whiskey fits the vibe, right? Thankfully, that quest isn't too long, but you do need to go really far out of the way to go like kill those coral pups,
and this is like another layer of favors.
Oh yeah, because you need to go all the way to Thanalan, to on the same map as Camp Drybones, if memory serves, to go find those corals.
Isn't it in Lenosia? Upper Lenosia, I think.
I think it's up in that top left. Like, you do have to go to
It's like where the waterfalls, like a lot of the ninja quest line, I think, takes place around there.
Yeah, I see.
That is true.
Sorry, but my memory did not serve.
Either way, though, you're not wrong in that you're currently not. So you were in Gridania, but in like the boonies of Gridania, you know, where the sylphs live. And then you left the boonies to go to like, you know, Buskarun's place. But then now you're in Limsa, but not even in the city. You're now in the boonies of Limsa. On this, so you're like twice removed from where you were supposed to be on this quest line.
And once again, you're being rented out from the Scions to now the Sylphs,
to Buskarun, and now to Tetarun.
You're just indentured servitude at this point. Oh, you're a slave. Like, you don't have any. Like, I mean, you are being paid. You are given the gil, but it's like.
You're being paid in quotes, okay?
Quote unquote.
The game is paying us. These NPCs are not.
All right, so now that we got the fire, water, you know, whiskey, whatever it is. To Buskarun. Excuse me, Buskarun. I always call him Buskarun. I think I combine his name with Tetarun and it becomes Buskarun.
It's hilarious.
Even though it's Buskarun. Buskarun.
It is Buskarun, yeah.
However it's better. Supposed to be pronounced, our glorified barkeep, he lets us know that they've been seeing some sylphs nearby in his area, which usually doesn't happen. And is kind of a sign of like, okay, something is going wrong. This might be a sign of your elder sylph, which
mayhaps,
you know,
mayhaps.
To him, how does he know if he didn't see the elder sylph? Because apparently to him, they all look the same. Anyways, but so then that gives us, you know, at least some clue to go on. So we start to, or rather, when we search for clues, we find Garlean soldiers, everyone's favorite surprise when you're looking through the forest. And that leads Buskarun to say, oh, like, there might be someone kind of helping them figure out what's going on. Someone
a traitor
betraying the wood whalers in Gridania. And so we now have this, honestly, in my opinion, more interesting lead, even though we're technically still on this wild goose chase, chasing the Sylph Elder. But now the stakes are getting a bit more personal because there's a potential Benedict Arnold, pick your historical traitor of choice, in the works. But we're going to save that for next time. Ooh.
Yes. Next time we'll pick up with the quest, Novorish. How is it relevant to the quest? Does a name have big significance? Who knows? There's only one way to find out. Nah, so tune in next time.
Yeah. I am a big fan of these quest names, as you guys heard me kind of alluding to earlier. So.
Oh, yes. The actual quest names that John was referring to, listener, if you remember, they are... After Never Forget, there's Micro Brewing and Fine Like Wine. So if you can recall some of John's jokes from earlier, that's what he was referring to. That's our show. If you like this episode, consider subscribing to our podcast. If you really like this episode, let us know with a review as well. Thanks for listening to the Secret Chocobo Club, and we'll see you next time.